My name is Jared Shockley. I'm Senior Service Engineer on the Microsoft IT Custom Portals team. My session is going to be some of the experiences I've had working with SharePoint on Azure IaaS, and I will be sharing some best practices, tips, and tricks to get the best performance. The one thing someone's going to get after watching my session is being able to set up portals quick and easy for project work. Some of you may not know that I'm a home brewer with a particular taste for Scotch ale.
And we're coming back to the live stream here on Level Up Azure IaaS for IT Pros. I'm Rick Claus, your host for these last of the series. And we're coming up to the last session, my friend. It's going to be a lot of fun. If you're just joining us now, thank you very much for joining us. If you're catching this on demand on replay mode, obviously you can catch the whole series of these individual sessions throughout the different areas on the Channel 9 page at channel9.msdn.com. I'm going to do one more reminder or shout out that if you have not done this as of yet, if you're watching the live session that's going on right now, if you go to aka.ms/levelupazure, scroll down on that page on the Channel 9 site, you'll see a button that says register. Make sure that you register off of that button to be able to go off and to have your information included in the mail out that'll be going out later on today, which includes a 50% off voucher for that 533 exam. If you don't register through that button, you're not unfortunately going to be able to be included in that offer. And likewise, if you're on the replay mode, same thing applies. So, all right, good luck with that to make sure that you get off and get registered. All the sessions are going to be available within 24 to 48 hours. We've been tracking pretty well and getting them up in the same day within a matter of hours of them going live. So we'll see if we can continue with that for these last couple of sessions. And we're going to round out this last part of this episode and this series of sessions we have today with my good friend Jay Shock, or Jared Shockley, I should say, for the full name. It's going to be coming in here. And, you know, we kind of heard a bit about you from the introduction that's already there, but what are we going to be talking about in this session, my friend?
Well, we're going to be talking about how people can run SharePoint on Azure as well as other ways Azure can tie into SharePoint, maybe even SharePoint Online.
Okay.
Potentially.
So that's going to be kind of cool. And you've got a bunch of slides and also some demos that I'm all kind of anxious to see.
Yep.
So, you know what? If you have any questions that you want to ask during the session, and this is during the live broadcast, obviously down below the player, there is a form area there that you're able to go off and ask questions. And likewise, if you're into the Twitters, I'm @RicksterCDN. He is @JShock, but he obviously can't see any of the stuff on Twitter. You can go off and you can ask us anything throughout the this particular session by using the #LevelUpAzure. I'm keeping an eye on those ones there to make sure I can ask those questions as we go. But I'm going to get out of the way. Go ahead, man. You have the floor.
Well, the big thing is a lot of people may know that Office 365 is enabling many companies to start moving to the cloud. Mm-hmm. Office 365 is a great product. However, it may not be an option for a lot of people, especially when it comes to SharePoint. A lot of times SharePoint has server-side solutions that have full trust code that can't be installed on Office 365. Some third-party solutions can't be installed onto Office 365. Sometimes the data sizing, they may have too much data in their SharePoint lists or, you know, too big of a document library and it can't go up to SharePoint Online as it currently is. Or there may be a need to downsize their on-prem farms that they, you know, they have the mandate from the CIO. We got to cut hosting, or we got to cut our racks by 20%. And people are running around biting their nails. How do we get that? How do we get that? Mm-hmm. So, you know, they run around, they say, what can we do? Use Azure for SharePoint.
Okay, so we have lots of options.
Tons of options.
365 might be the option, but also you can go through and do this from an IaaS perspective as well.
Exactly. So one of the big things you can easily do is you can run your QA or dev farms up in Azure. Great thing, as was pointed out during the SQL session before, you can turn them on and turn them off. Mm-hmm. You know, devs don't need them all the time. They don't need to be running 24/7. That's a great use of the Azure IaaS. Nowadays, with the new D-Series and G-Series servers and the premium storage, you can look at running even production farms up there because the performance is there. Another thing is, like I mentioned earlier, you can host the cloud app model applications. That's a new thing inside of SharePoint where you actually host, instead of doing all the work in SharePoint as a customization that's built in and you have to patch around it, mm-hmm. it's running on another server someplace else. Could be Azure, could be someplace else on-prem, but you know, let's take a look at hosting up in Azure. And then there's some you know, other solutions that you sometimes need in when you're hosting SharePoint. Got to have some place to put those, and normally those servers are the first ones they cut out. Mm-hmm. So it gets you the cloud flexibility while being able to get the on-prem features.
Okay.
Yep. So the first demo I've actually is going to run through is the easy how to create a farm on Azure real quick.
Okay.
So we'll pop over here and I can pull up my Azure portal.
Oops. So don't forget.
Yep. Got to switch over. Yep.
This is happening to a lot of the guys.
It's happening to everybody that comes in here. Yep. And he warned me.
I'm here to remind you. That's all.
So I pop into my portal, .azure.com, and I can. One of the first things you saw, even when the guys were running on the SQL demonstration, was one of the first things you can create new, and it's right up there, kind of at the top, SharePoint server farm.
Mm-hmm.
You can actually create a whole SharePoint server farm at the click of a button.
Now, just as a reminder, this is obviously our preview portal right now, and this is current as of December 4th.
Correct.
And this is a moment in time, so things can change as you go. This type of feature is not available inside the current management portal, which
correct.
Is the current production portal that we happen to have.
Exactly. So you can go through and fill out, you know, information, what you want to call it. It's the resource group, username and password that the site runs as. Do you want to enable high availability? High availability gets you more servers in there, as well as SQL always on mm-hmm. capability in the back end. What I've done is I've actually gone through and done this, and I have it set up right now, already running, and it's these three servers. I didn't do a high availability farm, but I have these three servers, and it built out these three servers. It builds out a SQL server, a domain controller, and a SharePoint server.
Mm-hmm.
All three are just built real quick, and I can actually show you the farm. This is actually hosted. It's a copy of one of our internal farms, and it's I copied the content database out to Azure, and boom, there it is. It's up and running.
Nice.
I got it done. The script took about 2 hours to run. That's why I'm not. You know, I'm doing the cooking show.
Yeah.
I'm going to put it in the oven and then grab the other one out of the other oven. It takes about 2 to 3 hours to fully get all the scripting completed mm-hmm. in Azure. But once it's done, you can then even copy a content database up there, and boom, away it runs.
Okay.
So this is, like I said, is one of our on-prem apps. So that's how easy it is to actually build a SharePoint farm on Azure nowadays.
Okay, so that's the end of the session. Thank you very much for joining us.
No. There's a lot more
to it.
There's
okay.
a lot more to it.
But again, the concept of the templates, though, is that it's set up to be in an optimized state, if you will, and also an automated state to get you up and running quickly.
Correct. And one of the other things, they're going to be doing some advancements to those scripts. They're going to make the farms even better mm-hmm. coming out of the box with those scripts.
Oh, okay.
So I've been working with them. My team's been working with them, as well as the SharePoint group. So
okay.
we're trying to make that a better thing. But there are some other things you need to consider when you're running SharePoint on Azure. Now, one of the key things is, you know, what kind of authentication you want to utilize. Are you going to run, where's your domain controller going to come from? Where's your authentication going to come from?
Mm-hmm.
Creating an isolated network for all the servers. So let's go back to some of the other sessions where, hey, I want to create a VNet over here. And so one of the things I found was creating separate VNets for even different roles within the farm.
Mm-hmm.
Even looking at larger memory SKUs, everyone's like, oh, I got to do what's cheapest. No, you got to look at those larger memory SKUs. They're going to help you out, even though they may. And one of the neat things is when you have a comparison, you could take a look at like a 3 versus a 6.
Mm-hmm.
Same number of cores, but much more memory.
Okay.
And memory is what SharePoint needs.
Mm-hmm.
And lastly, how to create SQL servers with better performance. And I know the guys before us, they really had a whole bunch of great things. I'm going to show some quick things that I've done to improve performance on my SQL servers.
Okay. Now, again, just because the introductory video might not have covered everything that was what you do for your job,
mm-hmm.
Just give us a little bit of an insight for the kind of things that you do and to the extent that you can share.
Right.
Working at Microsoft with MSIT.
Well, I help to host the large custom portals inside Microsoft.
Mm-hmm.
Right now, it's a dwindling set. We're able to move a lot up to Office 365, but we have some that utilize very specific programming.
Mm-hmm.
Can't do it up on Office 365. So they're working to try and figure out how do we change that? How do we work around that?
So you work with daily large-scale farms that have mm-hmm. complicated or complex different types of scenarios and setups, and also are running potentially on-premises or in a hybrid kind of mode.
Right, okay. And we actually have one farm currently that's running in a hybrid mode. Mm-hmm. We have another farm that, and all of our farms now are starting to be moved to a new data center in Cheyenne, but we, in Microsoft IT, have now got a real push to get into the cloud, get into Azure. And that's where a lot of my research on this came from, was trying to get there.
Good, thanks, man.
No problem. So one of the things we wanted to take a look at is the authentications. I mean, obviously, everyone would prefer to authenticate against your corporate Active Directory. That can sometimes be a problem when it comes to Azure. Where, how are you going to connect that? Is it going to be across a VPN? Currently, MSIT utilizes ExpressRoute for our Azure IaaS. So we can connect back to corporate, but it's still a bit of a delay. So they're actually looking to do some, maybe some DCs out in the Azure cloud in our space. You could run a separate Active Directory in Azure IaaS. That's what the scripts do. They set up a domain controller. I have a totally separate user, totally separate domain. And the last one you can use, you can utilize the Azure Active Directory with access control. It gets, there's a whole bunch of configuration that gets into that, and it tends to not be an easy setup and can cause some issues, and especially if you're also running an Office 365 tenancy, because there could be some fighting for resources between an Office 365 tenancy and if you're hosting an Azure-based SharePoint.
Yeah.
So I tend to point people towards the either running a separate Active Directory if it's for dev tests. The devs and tests can have a totally separate.
Right.
And the corporate Active Directory for if you're looking at doing your production farms.
And then from that perspective, with the corporate Active Directory being used, that could either be one of the site-to-site VPN connections where you have that hybrid connectivity. We, as an example for Microsoft, are using ExpressRoute because we have a large enough pipe to be able to require to have that level of authentication. Potentially, I guess, you could also go with a replicated Active Directory domain controller on IaaS up inside one of those virtual networks as one also option as well.
Correct.
Because that would keep the authentication up inside the virtual network as opposed to having to come back down again
across the VPN
or across your site.
Yeah,
so that's also an option too. Good.
Exactly. So one of the next things I talked about was taking a look at like isolating your virtual networks. As you can see here, one of the farms I built out on Azure, I actually have three distinct virtual networks. One is for the SharePoint servers, one is for the domain controllers, and one's for the SQL servers. Big key for doing that is trying to minimize crosstalk traffic, as well as with the SQL servers, it allows me to build an always-on cluster in its own in its own private network. So, doing that really helped save on some of the cross-traffic talk. The other nice thing is the domain controllers could be set up to not speak to anyone but the on-prem DCs as well as the cloud computers, but not talk out to the internet. You can do access controls based on these different ones. And you could break out your SharePoint layers to restrict who has access to what.
Okay, so this is using the access control list options between the VNets that we talked about on day two.
Correct.
I don't know how we're going to number these sessions when they go on replay mode, but that's the one that we talked with Yushan, for the different sort of things. Good. Okay.
Exactly.
I understand.
So as you can see, a lot of this is tying back some of the information we've learned in all the other sessions. So one great thing. I mean, it's tying all these virtual networks. Go back and you can learn more specifics there.
And an interesting thing from a skills perspective, a lot of this is also just good architectural skills that you would have learned on your on-premises environment too, right?
Correct.
So all those things directly apply with keeping server farms on the different isolated networks, being able to have connectivity and control between your different layers of your application, all that still applies.
It does.
Okay, good.
Yep. So the next thing that I brought up was using larger memory SKUs. Now I just wanted to go over, this is a chart of three different, the same site on three different size SKUs for the web front end. And the smaller one is the blue line, the A3 was the kind of whitish orange line, and the A4 is the red line at the bottom.
Okay, so that's just the A offerings. And the A4, I think, has, I want to say 8 cores, if I remember correctly, from my math that I remember.
I think it's 8 cores, 14 gigs.
Yeah, and basically, you can definitely see a difference in performance for page load times, for sure.
Exactly. And as you take a look through these, you can see also that this load was applied over time. So the 200 user total was applied at 5 minutes, I think it was like 5 minutes, 45 seconds. And you could see that A2 just started having issues with it.
Right, right.
So it's, you know, that's why you shouldn't skimp out on your memory when you're dealing with SharePoint. Yep. Give it as much memory as you can. And this, I put this in. I know people talk about this a lot. Is, you know, looking at the cost, you can kind of see the cost difference from a D3 to a D12, which gets you twice the amount of memory, is only $90, mm-hmm. roughly a month.
So again, from a production perspective, looking at this, yep. That's definitely potentially worth the effort to go from that different size of SKU if you're looking for that level of performance.
Or if you're doing some sort of dev effort and you're like, man, it's just not performing the way we need it to in dev, you can even upgrade it while you're working on that specific project. Get a D12, run it for the couple weeks you need it. Okay, great. I can go back to the normal D3 that we run.
Oh, okay.
So it can save money. And that's one of the great things about Azure, is the dynamic capability of changing things. Mm-hmm. So the last area I wanted to kind of cover is the improving of the SQL performance. Obviously, running the higher memory SKUs, everybody knows SQL needs it. But guys talked about it before in the prior session about running tempdb on the non-persistent drives, so that that temporary storage drive. Mm-hmm. That temporary storage drive is so much faster than any of the other drives.
Right.
However, when SQL starts, it wants to put the tempdb, if it can't find the tempdbs, it'll rebuild them. Our standard in MSIT, though, is we have certain folder names that these go into. Mm-hmm. If those folders aren't there, whoa, I can't start. I can't put that there. Now, some people may have those kind of requirements in the, with configuration management mm-hmm. with their companies. I actually built a script to help build our SQL servers out. So I can kind of show that script. And what we're going to do is we're actually going to shut down the SQL server. Mm-hmm. I'm going to delete the directory totally, just in case the non-persistent drive doesn't reset itself.
Okay.
But then what the script does is it builds the drive structure. If it can't build the drive structure, it emails me saying, hey, I'm broke. Please mm-hmm. come fix me. Then if it can build the directory structure, then it starts SQL Server. If SQL Server doesn't start, then it emails saying, hey, SQL didn't start. Okay. So we can show that real quick here. So I have my SQL Server is right here. And as you can see here, SQL is up and running. I'm going to go ahead and stop it. And when it stops, I'm actually going to delete. This is the temp files. There's tempdb and templog. Mm-hmm. I'm going to delete this.
So again, this is on the D drive, which according to our architecture for how we work with Azure, the D drive is non-persistent. If this machine had to reboot or if it was moved for some other reason, that drive may or may not be there again. More than likely not.
It's not guaranteed. It's not guaranteed. That's why I'm doing this delete.
Right.
And now we actually can, I can either do a shutdown or I can actually show you what the script does live.
It saves some time, I guess, because the shutdown and start back up again can take some
time. Exactly. So I actually have the script here, and it calls out what to do and the emails. And I'll post the script up to Codeplex there?
You can either Codeplex or you can put it up on Scripting Gallery or even just have it as an attachment, as an appendices inside your slide deck if you wanted to.
Got it. So if I actually go into Task Scheduler, I actually created a task on this box on startup. We'll show you that. Start SQL Server, add system startup. So we're going to basically run this PowerShell as if it was, hey, we're already done. And if I go back over here, whoa, data's back.
Okay.
And my tempdb is back.
So because the OS disk is persistent, mm-hmm. it's going to have the scheduled task available to it whenever that machine is restarted, no matter where that machine's restarted inside the data center.
Correct.
And the non-persistent disk may be blank, more than likely will be blank. Now the script will actually go ahead and have the proper structure as per your requirements that you have for, in this case, you work for MSIT, so they have the requirements, as an example here, yep. for having a folder structure called data.
Yep. So that's what all that script does. It's a pretty great way to handle that, especially, and then the performance that I got on the database having the tempdb over there mm-hmm. was incredible as far as mm-hmm. Keeping it off of a standard. And this was, mind you, most of my testing was done with the standard storage accounts. Mm-hmm. I only got access to premium storage accounts recently. Did want to go over some performance that information I did get. So one of the things I did on one of my SQL servers is I enabled storage spaces across two standard drives, two standard VHD on standard Azure storage. And if you take a look here, comparing the performance, the orange lines on all these graphs are the storage spaces. The blue lines is just default Azure. And you can totally see here on the IOPS, wow, I'm locked in at 500 IOPS. That's right. Standard. Yeah. I mean, you can't get over that. Well, wait a minute. If I did two drives and I was able to get all the way up to here, up to 12, almost 2,000 IOPS with an 8K block size, as my boss's boss, my skip manager, said in a meeting when I was talking about this, he goes, so let me get this. 1 + 1 = 2.5 And I told him, yes, 1 + 1 = 2.5
The storage guy was talking about this is like it's not a guarantee that it's there. It's simply that's where it's going to end up, kind of fluctuating over time. It sort of happens to be.
But now, and this was done with many. I took several tests and averaged it over across the tests.
And the other good thing that came out of this one here is that I've actually got a lot of questions on that came up with previous sessions on the Twitter side of things. Do I do a traditional RAID set on this, or do I do a storage spaces? And so here you're obviously seeing the storage spaces is definitely much more effective.
I personally like the storage spaces, plus the storage spaces is available at the OS level.
Right.
So I can totally manage it, I can monitor it with SCUM, I can do all sorts of things at the OS level. And that's even when you think about people who still have on-prem servers. They're like, oh, wow, do I use storage spaces or do I use the RAID like you were saying?
Right.
Like storage spaces, you can see it.
And one more thing about storage spaces, over top of just traditional RAID through software-based RAID through disk manager, is that storage spaces, the data, the metadata is stored with the disks. So if you need to unattach those disks and attach them up to a different server that you've built in the Azure space, it can re-import the storage spaces data and have access to the data that's on the individual drives.
That's an incredible capability if you fat finger a server.
Yep. Not that that's ever happened.
No, that's never happened.
Never.
There, a question did pop up. GFS asked a question. With Azure SharePoint farms, can you upload custom web parts directly to your farm? The answer is yes. When a SharePoint farm is hosted up in Azure, it's like it's an on-prem farm. It's just, you can install any sort of customization that you would if you had an on-prem server. You have full access down to the OS level. It also means you have to manage it down to that OS level, meaning you got to do your patches, you got to patch SharePoint. One of the great things about Office 365 is they manage all the servers and they manage SharePoint, so they can do all that patching for you. You don't have to think about it. But, yep, you can still put your custom solutions, deploy them out to the Azure farms. Mm-hmm. It's one of the great benefits of the Azure farm as well. If you have some old solutions, you got a business person, this is my solution, this runs my business. You can have it run out in an Azure farm until you finally convince them to move over to a new solution.
We just had a couple of questions come up here around the storage spaces. Again, we're talking about it because we've been working with 2012 for a while now. Mm-hmm. Storage spaces is the ability. You saw this on the SQL session that happened just before this one, if you're curious. Storage spaces is the ability of the operating system to be able to take physical disks and to abstract them with a pool and then be able to lay down the data in a stripe format or mirrored format based on what you choose across those disks. But it's different than what you would do in a traditional RAID adapter, RAID mirror 0 or RAID 1 or RAID 5. This is done at the OS level, a layer up, if you will, that then can be abstracted and used by different workloads.
Yep.
It's much faster, much easier to do, and as we mentioned, it's not dependent on the proprietary hardware that's doing the raiding. It's now done within the OS level and then transportable amongst stuff. So I know there's a number of different sessions and content around storage spaces specifically that I've done over the years on Microsoft Virtual Academy in case you need some more details around how storage spaces works.
And just a quick on the configuration that I used, I actually used the striping.
Yeah.
So I took two disks, striped it with storage spaces, and it gave me one larger.
Right.
Some people, there are some SQL DBAs that could say, well, keep the disks separate and separate your file groups in SQL. So you can do either one. I prefer storage spaces, mm-hmm. because then you manage it just like you do, just like we do almost all of our SQL servers.
Okay.
So some of the new, we talked about it earlier, and I know they've been talking about it a ton in the sessions all week, is the new Azure capabilities. Obviously, the new servers and the new premium storage is going to change things for SharePoint. Mm-hmm. We can actually start talking about putting workloads up, production workloads up in Azure, and companies can start thinking about, hey, I can get out of these racks, I can move my SharePoint up to Azure, can run it up there while I'm figuring out, am I going to move to the cloud or not? And it gives a good place for them to be able to run. The other advantage also of running in Azure, especially if they are connected via VPN or ExpressRoute, is users won't notice a difference on-prem, and they could potentially set up external sites easier because it's up in Azure. They don't have to try and come through some corporate firewall. They can have it go straight to the web servers up in Azure using the ACLs in the networks. Premium storage, I do want to talk about. I actually got some time, and wow, it was fun. I did some performance comparisons. And some people are going to look at this and say, whoa, wait a minute, what's going on? In some areas, I got, so starting out on the IOP comparison, it was up around 4,000 mm-hmm. at 4K and 8K block sizes. However, it started going down with 64 and 128K. Those are pretty large blocks, if you think about it. Mm-hmm. Happens a lot in SharePoint. Throughput, I hit a maximum of 32 megabytes per second. So thinking there might have been a maximum limit on my account when I was doing the work.
Quite possible. Again, the premium storage stuff that we were using, this is all still pre-release.
Correct.
And they're not finalized numbers and not finalized implementations either.
Correct. But if you take a look at the 4 and 8K, I mean, the performance was amazing. Mm-hmm. You can start seeing it's outperforming. And also the latency, I was using a great new tool called Disk SPD. Mm-hmm. I can't remember the gentleman who put it out, Jose Barreto. He posted it up. It's available on the TechNet Gallery.
Yep.
That's what I was using to do all my measurements. And one of the great things about it is it's a replacement, if you will, for something like SQLIO, which mm-hmm. has been used for years by DBAs. The new disk speed tool actually takes into account and actually measures things like latency, which could be you could have latency in a SAN network mm-hmm. or in a storage network like in Azure. You mm-hmm. can actually measure that with this new tool. So as you can see, the latency went up when the throughput got throttled and the IOPS dropped, and I think that is something specific with the preview of the premium
right.
storage.
Yeah, definitely.
So
definitely.
if we can extrapolate, you can kind of see where these graphs were going. I didn't actually extrapolate them myself, but the way I took a look at the extrapolation, I mean, we're seeing upwards of 100 megabytes of throughput per second mm-hmm. with 128K blocks. That's huge.
Yeah.
That's huge.
And so just in case you're wondering, we talked about this earlier, was the fact that premium storage as of December 4th, which is when the show is being live streamed and also recorded, premium storage is not available in other than in select certain customers to have access to it. It'll eventually be available in a preview mode and also in general availability, obviously, as time progresses. Mm-hmm. Likewise as well, premium storage is only available to be hooked up to a D-series machine and a G-series machine. It's not available to work with the A-series machines.
Correct.
And so be aware of that if you're starting to play and plan with some of these things. Inside your SharePoint farm, trial deployments and DevOps, dev test deployments as well.
Exactly. So one of the other things I brought up earlier was also talking about the cloud app model. Now the cloud app model is something in Microsoft SharePoint that has been progressing for a while. When we had SharePoint 2007, you did everything inside SharePoint and you had to try and hook in, and it started getting a little difficult, made things make SharePoint not run well, and when you try to patch it, it would break. And so in 2010, they brought out the notion of the sandbox, which was great because you could isolate solutions into the sandbox. However, still people built these solutions that were server-side and tried to take a deeper advantage of SharePoint or even change SharePoint in some respects. By the time you get to 2013, which is what's running on Office 365, they've actually built a great API mm-hmm. to connect to. And one of the great things is you can actually run your application workload someplace else.
Okay.
So you can run it on Azure.
Mm-hmm.
You could run it as a website on Azure. You could run it as a web service with a database in Azure using either a SQL VM or Azure SQL.
Mm-hmm.
You could even run it as a LAMP stack. Let's say you have a third-party app. You could spin up a Linux box up on Azure and install that third-party app right into that Linux box. Boom, can connect it right away. All running. And then SharePoint, what's great about SharePoint then is the SharePoint can be updated without having to worry about all the specialty code. That's mm-hmm. a great thing about the cloud app model. That's one of the reasons why Office 365 was designed that way, was they didn't want to have to worry about all those customizations whenever they applied patches. So, now with the cloud app model, I can actually show you some examples that we actually have on-prem.
Sure.
So the examples I will pull up here. Oop. I forgot to escape. There we go. We can actually pull up the, that's because I was going to pull, nope, that's not Open Outlook. We will pull up a website that we use internally called MSW. It's short for Microsoft Web. It's kind of the key portal of Microsoft. And it's hosted up in SharePoint Online. And we'll actually go over, you guys might have seen, I've actually previewed one of my later demos.
Okay.
Just now. But it's this is the company portal. This is where everybody goes to. I need to get information. One of the cool things it has is maps. I can pull up a map of where buildings are. You know, I'm going to Denver next week to help teach a session on SharePoint. And it's now having some issues. Oh, let me just refresh the page. And we are getting an error. I better report that to my team. Well, this if you would see down here, this would actually open up a website.
Well, the good thing is you just basically demonstrated that it is a separate component that's
it
there.
It is a separate component. This is what it should have opened up.
Right.
And now I can look up, hey, I need to go to Denver next week. Ah, there's the exact building I need to go to, Denver 7595. There it is.
Nice.
It's got its address. I can look up all the information I need. Bingo.
Nice.
As you can see here, though, this is a cloudapp.net. This is running on Azure. Mm-hmm. This is a PaaS service, but it would show up normally inside here.
Nice.
So that's that's what they call a cloud app. And
so literally it's the ability to go off and embed another application within the SharePoint piece, but the SharePoint engine of the server itself isn't being taxed by that application when
Correct.
It's off and running.
Correct.
And you can upgrade, as you mentioned, the SharePoint farm and the pieces separate and independent from that one application's there.
That is correct. And that's okay. One of the great things about that cloud app model. It also can allow for third parties are starting to take advantage of it. Third parties, I believe, like SAP, I know our CRM, and I believe Salesforce is taking advantage of it. And you'll see those apps when you go into the Office 365, you can say add an app. Mm-hmm. There's a list of apps there.
Okay.
And all those are cloud app model apps. Mm-hmm. They're either what they call client side, which means they run in JavaScript in your local browser, or they're server side running someplace hosted.
Okay.
And those hosted providers could be, for instance, hosted out in Azure.
Mm-hmm.
So the other great thing that Azure can provide, obviously, and this is one of those things for IT pros like me, I always get so MSW, as you saw, moved from on-prem to the SharePoint Online. Great. Except everybody always knows to go to MSW by typing just MSW in their browser.
Internally, yes.
Internally.
Yeah.
And there's no DNS for that in the real world.
Mm-hmm.
And I can't just put a DNS entry, like a CNAME, and say, oh, just go here, because the Office 365 servers will go, I don't know what this is, don't send this to me,
mm-hmm.
and error out. So one of the things that my team actually has done is we've created a redirect service hosted on Azure IaaS.
Okay.
why waste any of our on-prem servers? Mm-hmm. We're able to get small servers. You know, they're only hosting IIS with the URL rewrite tool. Boom. Send it, you know, somebody comes in, send them off to SharePoint Online. Somebody comes in, send them to SharePoint Online. Somebody comes in. So as you saw, I kind of, like I said, I previewed it, but the, but if I go to any of, there's a couple of URLs you can go to on our, in our on-premise world.
No, just curious, you're going to send us to safe sites, right?
Yes.
Okay. Just.
Yes. Well, I could send you to ITWeb.
Okay.
Which is our internal IT website. That one would redirect, but I'll send us to MSW again. As you can see, the URL just changed from MSW to microsoft.sharepoint.com/site/MSW. Mm-hmm. Makes it easy for everyone who has that old bookmark.
Like me.
Like you. And they can get to the SharePoint Online version. Mm-hmm. A lot of IT pros have to run little services like that. Mm-hmm. Azure IaaS, especially if you've got it set up with ExpressRoute or VPN, you can do those quick little things and just host it on a small server up in IaaS. Mm-hmm. And like I said, we're hosting these on A2s.
Okay, nice.
So I would have probably hosted them on smaller servers, but we have some requirements for like SCOM packages, that kind of thing. So it makes it, we have to have a slightly larger server.
We actually had a question come up here on the Twitters with the hashtag #LevelUpAzure about what was the performance tool that you're using once again that did the latency and everything else. It's not Iometer.
No.
Or Iometer or SQLIO.
It's disk speed.
Disk speed.
And I can actually pull up the URL. You can go to aka.ms/disk SPD.
And that redirects to the publicly accessible gallery, which has access to disk speed for testing the storage spaces and also the performance underneath them for
exactly.
How they all work.
And Jose has actually written a couple of blog posts about it. You can do some quick web searches for disk speed, and you'll see he's got a whole bunch of in-depth information, how to use it, and how to read it.
Jose is one of the leads on the storage and the file server team, and so obviously this is a team collaborative effort to be able to put this guy together. But whenever I have any questions about spaces and how performance is going or file server stuff like that, Jose is one of the first guys I ping or check his blog.
Excellent.
He's got a lot of great resources on his blog.
Yep.
Good.
So we have one other question also. From DevC, please elaborate on using Azure Active Directory as a primary source of the user identity provider for a SharePoint farm. So
that's a big mouthful.
One thing you can do is you have to use the Azure, I think it's the Azure Control Services, ACS, as a part of the Azure Active Directory. Mm-hmm. And then you can connect the farm to it, and that can provide authentication. Now, there's a lot of steps you have to do to get that enabled. There's some great blog posts by some SharePoint MVPs out there that I'm aware of that have done this. It's an area we tend to not do in MSIT. We would rather have domain controllers to attach.
Right.
So that's why I'm not as well versed in it. I do know there's one problem with the user profile application. For those of you who aren't as in-depth with SharePoint, the user profile application is that part of SharePoint that has everybody's profile. It has the lovely pictures of you, and you can put up your profile and say about me, and here's my blog URL. That service needs a connection into the Active Directory. And the problem you run into when you're connecting to Azure Active Directory and you have an Office 365, I believe there's a limitation where there's only one connection that can make that. So if you have an Office 365 tenancy, this is one of the reasons why we don't use it, is you can't make that connection. Now, if you're just running UPA on your own all the way back out in your farm, you could, in theory, connect with it, and that's when you'd want to look up the Azure control system or service. That's how you'd get it connected.
Nice. Other stuff to cover off that's left off inside your session, man? We got no questions in the queue right now.
Got none. The other big one that I would actually like to discuss or have people look at is the operational insights.
Okay. We haven't covered that one yet as of yet.
I don't have any, unfortunately, I don't have any demos or live data that I can show off, but we're starting to utilize this inside MSIT.
So Operational Insights is available in preview mode right now. And the preview mode basically was turned on, I do believe, back around the late October, early November timeframe during TechEd Europe. And so if you wanted to have more information specifically on that one there, you can go off and catch the TechEd Europe keynote, because I think it was Jeff Woolsey, a good friend of mine, came and did a demonstration of what you could do with it, trend analysis over time, be able to see the error messages and more more operational data on your VMs running within IaaS, as an example. And then also there's sessions specifically on Operational Insight there too. You can go and sign up for Operational Insights preview on the portal to be able to go off and try it out yourself in preview mode right now.
Correct. And like I said, we're starting to utilize it both for our PaaS solutions and our IaaS solutions. I'll also say the System Center System Advisor has been something we just added to all of our servers, and it's been an incredible thing to get some in-depth information and start to use machine learning, a little bit of machine learning that's in there, to get to where we can start being a little bit more predictive about failures. You know, we see certain things, have the system be able to tell us, hey, this is going to be bad. I haven't been able to personally play with the System Advisor yet, but I can't wait to. Got another quick question. Image uploaded to gallery, is it available to all Azure users to deploy? Is there an option to have the image available only to us? I personally only know that if you make a image, like let's say you make a SharePoint image, so you have an easy to deploy SharePoint server, has SharePoint already ready, all you got to do is run the I always forget the name of the tool. It's the SharePoint configuration tool. You can have everything all set to go so that you can add it to Farms real quick. If I remember correctly, any image you upload is only available to you or to that subscription. It's not available cross subscription.
When you upload it to the gallery, it's into your own subscription. You are able to go in and basically have those disks available to if you provide access to your storage account, you're able to go in and to copy them between with blob copy. You can copy them between different accounts, provided the access rights have been granted, obviously.
There we go.
So that is possible to go off and do.
But it is something I would recommend, especially if you want to be, if you start moving production up to Azure, if you have all your systems ready and sys prepped, then you can use automation eventually. You can even use the Azure automation to deploy brand new servers into your farm.
And last closing thoughts, you still got some more there?
I had the demo. Closing thoughts, I mean, in Microsoft IT, like I said, we're starting to be pushed by to start using Azure services more and more. You know, as I pointed out at the beginning of the session, the Office 365 offerings are great offerings, but they have some areas where they just don't have the capabilities today. And a lot of people need answers for today. I know they're working on new solutions for the future, but by utilizing Azure, you can still get those servers out of your on-prem, move them up to the cloud, take advantage of all the cloud offerings, you know, the runbooks to make them automated, the Operation Insights to track what's going on, and you know, even having easier to internet access capability. So, and it looks like we got a couple more questions.
Yeah, both Jim, actually it's Jim is the same guy asking both of these questions. Can we obtain the scripts and extensions used to create the SharePoint server farm item from the marketplace gallery? So that whole automated piece that goes in there. I'm not sure if you know the answer to this one here or not.
I don't know the answer. I don't know what their plans are with that, Jim.
Typically those things that are created, that are customized, are not available to be able to go off and to look at. Although I do know that there is a new effort going on right now on the documentation side on the Azure.com website about the stuff that happens in the background and all the things that go on inside that area. And potentially, if that's something that you're interested in seeing, by all means, go to feedback.azure.com down inside that virtual machine subcategory for feedback to be able to possibly post that as a request and get it voted up or not, to be able to have those things shared off. So at this point in time, customization of those scripts are not available just from the gallery, other than what they give you from a naming convention and the machine names and domain names that are part of the forms that are filled out when you go off and you create that individual server farm.
Now, I would recommend if you have feedback of being able to, you want more customizations. One of the feedback I gave him was, wouldn't it be nice to have a spot where I can upload my content DB already up to a storage blob? Mm-hmm. And the script just takes my content DB, pulls it over to the SQL server, connects it, and I don't get just a generic site, I get my site loaded. Mm-hmm. And they were like, oh, this is great. And they were, you know, so they're really, I know the team, you know, working with the team that I've been working with, they're really excited and want a lot of feedback. So definitely head over to the feedback site, feedback.azure.com.
Feedback.azure.com. It's powered by user voice. You get to vote up your different options that you find interesting. And then also they have categories on the right-hand side to be able to choose the specific category for public feedback that happens to be out there. But with that, my friend, I'm going to say thank you very much for coming down. It's
not
been
a
great
problem
working with you. It's been a nice session, man.
It has.
And then for you that are now here watching us during the live stream, I want to take a moment here to give you some extra resources. Jared, as an example, is going to be making his slide deck available to us that we can then go and upload to the site eventually when the videos are actually processed. That's where some of his scripts potentially are going to be included as appendices inside of his PowerPoint file. So first of all, thank you for spending the last 4 days with us if you're joining us on the live stream. It's been a lot of fun putting this together. This was a long piece of effort to be able to go off and put this together. There's a lot of people involved to be able to get this off and working. I'm not going to be able to name them all that are here. But obviously from a speaker's perspective from today, we had some great stuff by Simon, one of my colleagues, Yoshe, coming off from the Azure websites. Lewis and Oshin coming up and talking about SQL, and obviously Jared here for these individual sessions. I do have to do a shout out to all the Channel 9 folks that actually make this look easy. We've got Naz over there, Golnaz looking after the production and the crews and the switching. Larry to make sure they're all up and working and present. Joff and also all the other devs that keep the Azure websites, Channel 9 websites up and going. They make us look good. So thank you to everyone on the streaming side of things, including Microsoft Studios, to keep the stream up and running. All the recordings that are there for the last 3 days are already up and running. The sessions from today, if you're watching this live, will be up within 24 hours. We're aiming to get them up ASAP. And don't worry, I see the Twitters asking about the slides. The slides are coming. They will be available in the same place as the videos. But also, this will appear as a Microsoft Virtual Academy course that contains multiple modules that you can go off and do some skill testing questions to kind of validate your expertise and sort of stuff. Stay tuned for when that becomes available on MicrosoftVirtualAcademy.com to be able to go off and do some replays if you're interested. If you're interested in continuing to converse with us and to talk about some of this stuff, again, this was our first attempt at doing something specifically for the LAN admin, the IT pro, the sysadmin around the Azure IaaS space. I'll be monitoring the Level Up Azure hashtag that's out there. You're also welcome to contact me with feedback. All right, a couple people suggest some additional sessions and additional content I'd like to see in the future. So you can do that at simply hashtag Level Up Azure, and we can watch that. Or, you know what, contact me directly on Twitter if you like with @RicksterCDN. There is obviously your ability to go off and try some of these resources yourself. And so you can go to aka.ms/try-azure-now, or just go to the azure.com website, top right-hand corner, and click on a trial. That will give you a $200 credit once you've been validated by the system, or 30 days, whichever comes first, to be expired. Once you complete that $200 credit or the 30 days, it switches to a pay-as-you-go. So be careful with the consumption. Make sure you understand how the consumption works. Someone was joking earlier about the high availability set for SQL running on a D14 would probably consume that $200 credit pretty quick. So watch out for that one there. Also, obviously, the ability to go through and take a look at one of our free ebooks for introducing Azure IaaS to IT professionals, in case you're interested, aka.ms/Azure-ebook. We also have some stuff going through with the hybrid cloud environment and hybrid cloud training environments on tech, on the what we call the tech journeys environment for TechNet Eval Center. That is aka.ms/tech-journey-azure. If you haven't as of yet done this, I'm told that the doors are still open if you're watching the live streams on aka.ms/levelupazure, the main landing page for this individual site. Down at the bottom, there's a register area. If you click on that registration area, you will still be included to be able to go off and to get a 50% discount voucher for that particular exam. Last kind of minutes, things I need to wrap up and ask about this. I'm trying to think if I got everything, got my little notes here. Looks like I'm good, my friends.
You got it? Got it all?
I think I got it all.
This has been great. I've been watching it from New York.
It's crazy. It's been a lot of fun doing this. I had a lot of fun putting this together. Again, a very large team put this together, so thank you very much for the kind words. It's not just me. It's a much larger team that brought this together. But hey, it's fun. It's a bunch of engineers, a bunch of evangelists getting together, sharing their technology passions around the Azure side of things, and again, trying to give you the ability to go off and to try this out. So go off and try your trials. Go off and talk to your developers that have Azure credits potentially inside their MSDN subscriptions. And if you already have Azure consumption or already have some kind of an EA agreement and you know that Azure's involved, contact your representative inside your company about how you could gain access to some of these resources and start using it today. With that, I'm going to end this in a traditional format. You want to grab one of these for
sure.
me, buddy?
Right.
And we're going to see if we can hit that camera right
that,
there.
That
and just
right
try
away.
To be gentle with it.
Okay.
And almost got it. Almost
oh,
got it.
Oh, there we go. I did.
Hey, we had a lot of fun. Thanks for joining us, everybody. Hashtag Level Up Azure. We'll see you next time, whenever next time happens to be. We're done for the day, and we're out of here. Roll the clip.